Hello and welcome to the European Hoops Podcast. We are a Sports Ethos presentation. We bring you all the coverage you need of the EuroLeague. We recap and preview all the action and cover all the news surrounding the competition. Join us on this ride and learn more about some of the best basketball played in the world. Make sure you don't miss any episodes by subscribing to the podcast and follow us on Twitter at Ethos EuroLeague. 7 games left on this EuroLeague season, Duke. Are you ready to recap how we got here and preview what to expect from the 3 game 5 left that will decide who are the teams that will play the Final Four?
Yeah, absolutely, man. This season has been amazing from start to finish. And hopefully these game fives will live up to our expectations, man. But let's get to it. I'm ready.
Let's start this episode with an announcement regarding the offseason. Our offseason, not the early offseason. We will bring you an episode next week previewing the Final Four and recapping the 3 games 5 that we are about to have on this week. Then we will bring you an episode recapping the Final Four right after it happens, followed by an episode a week during the offseason where we'll recap the seasons of each of the 18 teams until the World Cup, and then we will be covering the World Cup for you guys. Let's waste no time and move to Kaunas, where the Final Four will happen, where all the teams want to end this edition of the EuroLeague, and where we saw a Hartford game. Barcelona won against Žalgiris 77-66 to advance to the EuroLeague Final Four. The arena was vibrant and loud, as it always is in Kaunas, as Žalgiris tried to come back from a 2-0 disadvantage in the series. Barcelona defensive discipline and effort was too much for Žalgiris to overcome on a game where Barcelona was led by Satoransky and Vesely. Barcelona started the game taking advantage of the considerable size mismatch, looking for Vesely inside mostly. They had Žalgiris to only one field goal in 7 minutes and 30 seconds played in the first quarter, disrupting Žalgiris' offense that was trying to attack the paint. However, Žalgiris came back from a 10-point deficit in the first quarter to go into the second one, down only 3 points, 10-13. With a 3 from Abrinis in the third quarter, Barcelona got a 9-point lead, 41-50, with 13 minutes left to play in the game. From there, Barcelona never looked back, stealing the deal against a valiant Žalgiris. Vesely was the MVP of the game with 14 points, 3 rebounds, 2 assists, 3 steals, while the captain Edgar Azulanovas was the best for the home team on this last game of the season. In the end, it ended up being a short series, even if Žalgiris put up some fight on games 2 and 3. Barcelona were heavy favorites heading into the series, and we both had them as the top contenders. You got right in how many games they will win. And we have them as we both rank them in first as the favorites to win this edition of the EuroLeague. Do you think that they showed enough on this series? What concerns you have for them heading into this Final Four? And what breakdown you make of this game 3 in Kaunas?
Well, first of all, congratulations to Barcelona for moving on to the Final Four. And congrats to Žalgiris on a hell of a season. Even losing their best player midway through the season due to the injury, they still put up a great fight and were still able to make the playoffs. And those fans deserved it, so shout out to them. My concern for Barcelona going into the Final Four, I think it's just when the rotations start, I think you see a big difference like when Satoransky is off the floor, and I think that's the biggest concern I have for them. Other than that, like, to me, I agree with you. Like you said, they are the favorites in both of our opinions, and I picked them to win the EuroLeague this year. I think you could agree with me that they should be the favorites. So, but yeah, but my concern is the rotations. Like, having Satoransky off the floor, I think they struggled a bit moving the ball around. So we'll see how they deal with that. But about this series and this game, the shooting aspect just made so much of a difference in this series. Barcelona hit 35 threes in the series and Žalgiris hit 14. So that's such a big gap to make up for, that it was just going to be so hard for Žalgiris to beat Barcelona here. The way they've been playing, the depth they have, the shooting ability they have, and then they're always going to have the best player on the floor in Mirotić. And even if Mirotić is on the bench, you can have Satoransky. So they just have so many options, and that's why I picked them to win. They have the depth, they have the star power. I just think they are the best team overall, and we'll see what they do in the Final Four.
That's exactly what I had here on my notes. Barcelona struggled to move the ball with their second unit. Like, we saw many times units of Jakubaitis, Kyle Kuric, Kalinic, Chandler and Toby playing out together, and they do lack some creation on those lineups, and they do struggle, and the ball tends to...
Offensively, that's a tough lineup to have.
Yeah, and the ball tends to end up sticking on Jakubaitis's hands. Many times we were commenting on that, and we saw Sarunas saying that on a timeout to Jakubaitis. And that has been the moments in the games where we saw Barcelona more vulnerable, and we see Barcelona allowing runs from the other teams. And that's something that they will need to address. Maybe they will need to stagger better the players of their starting lineup. Maybe they will need to extend the run of some of their best players. The truth is that this ended up being an easy series, as in a way it was predictable, even if they had to fight hard for games 2 and 3. And I think that that's something that Barcelona will be able to do it by simply keeping their best players on the court for a longer and extended period of time.
By the way, do you think we could see some La Provitola point guard minutes in the Final Four?
I don't think so, because I don't think we will see Jakubaitis out of the rotation at all, like completely. So I think that we will see more lineups where we will have two of those three guards always on the floor, because when Corey Higgins is available, usually it's him on that second unit instead of Kuric. And I think that's what we will be starting to see, and I think that will be my approach if I was coaching Barcelona, is that I will always have two of those three guards in the floor: Satoransky, La Provitola, and Jakubaitis, and of course have heavier minutes for the two starters here. I don't expect to have just La Provitola minutes on the Final Four. Do you disagree? Do you think it will happen?
I don't think it will happen, but I think if I was the coach, I think I would try it, because he's been there before, playing point guard minutes in those type of moments. And I think for what Barcelona needs when they get into rotations, I think he could provide a better... I think he could be a better option at the point guard than Jakubaitis. Just for the fact that he's a better shooter, he is a better driving to the basket. So I think it would be better for them, because I think the ball would move more, and I think there will be more overall movement on the court when Satoransky goes to the bench. But I agree with you. I don't think it will happen. It's just something that I would try it.
I think I would prefer, or I see Barcelona maybe taking La Provitola a bit earlier from the game and having Higgins playing with the starters, and then having La Provitola playing alongside Jakubaitis on the second unit, and with that allow more a lineup with more creation, and not having Jakubaitis having to take all the decisions in the second unit. Because even using Jakubaitis alongside Satoransky tends to be slightly redundant. I don't see a big advantage there. So I think maybe we'll see something like that, but I doubt we will have extended periods where we will have just La Provitola. But this end up being an easy series for Barcelona. They are the first team qualifying for the Final Four, and they are the only team not needing a Game 5. So congratulations for them, as you said very well. But also congratulations for Žalgiris, and I'm looking forward for Žalgiris next season. We will preview their next season during the offseason, but they already renewed with Evans, their MVP, or the MVP candidate that was playing for them so well in the beginning of the season. So the Žalgiris fans have something to look for in the next edition of the EuroLeague. From a sweep, let's move on to three highly competitive series that are all going to Game 5. Let's start in Tel Aviv. In Game 3, Monaco came away with a hard-fought 83-78 road win, taking a 2-1 series lead. Monaco dominated the first half behind an impressive performance from Mike James, who finished with 21 points and was named the MVP of the game. Monaco's game plan of attacking the basket kept them in control throughout the game, while Maccabi struggled to find their offensive rhythm, going just 6 from 24 from behind the arc. Despite a small run by Maccabi to start the second half, Monaco was able to keep their lead thanks to their strong defensive performance and ability to score from the free throw line. Maccabi's late push, including two late three-pointers, was not enough to overcome Monaco's game plan for this Game 3, and the visitors left with a crucial and, for me, decisive victory, reclaiming home court advantage on this series between Monaco and Maccabi. On the second game, on Game 4, we had a very different story. Maccabi won 104-69, Maccabi's backcourt of Lorenzo Brown and Wade Baldwin the fourth were, as they usually are, the star performances, with Brown being named the MVP of the game, and Maccabi was able to force game 5 with this win. Monaco led 24-17 at the end of the first quarter, but Maccabi responded with a 13-12 second quarter, including a 20-0 run with 5 straight threes to take a commanding 47-36 halftime lead. Maccabi maintained their dominance in the second half, outscoring Monaco 57-33 to steal the win. With the series now tied 2-2, what recap do you make of these two games that we saw in Tel Aviv?
Well, first of all, I just want to say this is guard play at its peak. You know how I love those teams with a lot of guards and the skill level that they have. And we predicted this before the series started. And it's living up to it, for sure. Starting off with Game 3, when I was watching the players' intro and I saw how Maccabi fans were prepared for that game, I was like, yeah, there's no way Monaco is winning this game. But then Mike James, he started off so aggressive and he scoring the ball, he immediately made me regret thinking that because he was so good. And then Jordan Lloyd and Okobo helped him out. They had pretty solid games. And then John Brown. Everybody contributed, and I think Monaco, one of their biggest problems was that a lot of times there was not enough help for those guards, and I enjoyed the way they played Game 3. I think they were very good, and we know it's not easy winning in Tel Aviv, especially in the playoffs, because Maccabi is one of the best home teams in the competition, so it was a great win by Monaco. They played very well, and Mike James led the way, so they did the unthinkable, because we both thought that Maccabi would win both home games. So shout out to Monaco because they really did a good job preparing for that Game 3 and winning that one. But then what an answer from Maccabi in Game 4. To win by 35 points, I mean, that has to give them such a confidence boost for Game 5 on the road. Lorenzo and Wade, they keep showing why they are the best backcourt in the competition. I don't think there's any doubts about it now. And they keep performing at such a high level. I think Maccabi will need everything they can have from them too in order for them to win Game 5. But bring it on, man. I think it's going to be a hell of a game, and I'm ready for it. For
sure. Yeah, it for sure will be a hell of a game. And it was almost as if Mike James listened to our last broadcast because the team needed him to step up, and he will always contribute because he's one of the best players, if not the best player in the EuroLeague. But he really stepped up big time and he detected the pace early in the game. Then Maccabi was able to change their defensive strategy on him on the second half and contain him a little bit. But he had already done his damage and put his team in a position to come up with this win.
He set the tone for the rest of the guys. And then it was easier for them to follow along the rest of the game. So even when they adjusted the defense on him, I think Monaco's guys were prepared already. So great job by Mike.
For sure. Absolutely. This is a Mike James win. Of course, it's a team win, but he had a big contribution for this one. And I think this might change the series or might dictate the winner of the series. But let's take a moment to, on a night where Maccabi Hall of Fame was inducted David Blatt, the former NBA and EuroLeague coach. Maccabi team also show that they show up for that night. It was a very special night. We had a lot of special moments around David Blatt, and he's a legend. He's one of the great ones ever doing it on the EuroLeague. Absolutely. And it was well deserved, and it was a very beautiful moment. But let's focus now on what we expect to see on this series. For me, if Monaco wins Game 5, and I expect them to win Game 5 at home, for me, this Game 3 was the key, because I expected Maccabi to come into the series in a better momentum. I expected them to be able to steal a game in Monaco, and I expected them to dominate on their own home court. So the fact that Monaco was able to steal one game in Tel Aviv, that will be for me the key for them to win this series, and I favor them on the Game 5, despite I had picks Maccabi in the beginning to win this series. I see Monaco as favorites to win this game five, and that will be an historical win, because if they win this game five on Thursday at home, they will reach their first EuroLeague final, Final Four, and I expect them to do so. I expect this game to be highly competitive and for Maccabi not to go down without putting up a fight, but I think that Monaco showed the ability to challenge Maccabi with an aggressive defense. And going into their three-guard lineups with Okobo, Lloyd, and Mike James, the answer from Maccabi has been to go for a three-guard lineup of themselves, of their own. And Monaco has been having the advantage on those situations. And I expect to see a lot of that on this Game 5. And I want to see if Coach Katach can come up with a solution. He did some tweaks on their starting lineup, going to Poitras at center on the beginning of this Game 4. And it did work to a point for them. They lost the first quarter, but the extra mobility and aggressivity that allowed them, it did work to a point for Maccabi. So we had great games in Tel Aviv, and this has been a great series as we expected. What are for you the keys for both teams and to win this Game 5, and what do you expect from this Game 5 specifically?
Yeah, I think for Monaco, the key is, again, like we predicted for games three and four, I think the guards have to be aggressive from the start. We know Mike James is going to show up. It's a decisive game, and we know what he does on those moments. And I think Jordan Lloyd and Elio Gobo have to follow him and stay aggressive as well. But they got to set the tone for the rest of the guys, because that will open up so much space for the bigs, for the wings. Because their ability to drive, to shoot, I think it's going to open so much stuff for them. So I think that's the biggest key. And then their ability to contain Lorenzo and Wade. And for Maccabi, I think it's the same thing the other way around. I think those guards, those two guys have to set the tone for them. They have to be aggressive on the open court every time they get stops. And I think Di Bartolomeo is going to be the biggest key here for them, because I think he's going to be the one guarding Mike James. And he's a very good defender for the guard position. So we'll see what he can do on that matchup. And then the bigs from Maccabi have to be able to win the battle with Monty Ioannis and Dante Hall, because Monty Ioannis has been having some success in the post in this matchup. And we know Nebo is more of a lob threat, but with Poitras and Cohen, they have to be good. And Sorkin coming off the bench, they have to be good enough to where they don't lose those battles, because I think that's going to be a big key for Maccabi. They got to win the rebounding battle, because on the road, Monaco is going to be motivated. They're going to have their fans there. So I think it's going to be a very exciting game, but I'm going to take Monaco. I had Monaco in five to start off this series, but I thought there was going to be like every home game, home team is going to win. And that didn't happen. But we get to the same place here with game five in Monaco's home. So I think Monaco is going to get the win. But I think it's going to be an amazing game for sure.
Yeah, absolutely an amazing game. And the things I wonder is if Maccabi would risk to go even smaller to play some Bonzi at the four. I think they can get away with it. Play with the three guards, play Bonzi Colson at the four, and then one of the bigs. Not for the whole game, obviously, but for moments of the game. I think they can get away with it against Monaco, and that will give them extra firepower.
Honestly, I think that would benefit Monaco more.
Why is that?
Because if they can go with the three guards, Alpha Diallo and John Brown, I just think they have a better lineup than Maccabi. And those three guards, honestly, are the big difference maker, because there's three of them to only two in Maccabi. And I don't think Maccabi is going to be able to stop them, obviously. Nobody's going to stop anybody in a series like this. But I think Maccabi can do a better job guarding... I think Monaco can do a better job guarding Maccabi than the other way around, because of Alpha Diallo and John Brown, especially.
But that's exactly why. Because we have seen those three-guard lineups from Monaco, and they are having that advantage during this series when they play with three-guard lineups, because usually Maccabi goes to a lineup with a Di Bartolomeo, with a Baldwin, and with a Brown against those three guards of Monaco. And they have been having the advantage, and Monaco has been winning those parts of the game, those spans of the game, where they are going for three guard lineups on both sides. I just wonder if adding Bonzi at the four will not allow Maccabi to have even more firepower on offense and even more solutions, because I expect this, and it can sound like a contradiction because these are two high-scoring teams. This will be a hard game to score. Like, both teams will play with a lot of intensity, both teams will be extremely physical. And I think that the teams will be able to take advantage of their transition and will be able to find some easy baskets, will have some advantage here. So it will be an interesting juggling act by Maccabi's coach to see what he will prioritize between scoring and between rebounding, and to find the perfect balance to be able to steal a second game in Monaco. What I think it will be a very hard task for Maccabi to do, because I think that Monaco are favorites and that they won't lose this chance to go for the first time to the Final Four of the EuroLeague. It will be a great game to tune in for sure, and this edition of the EuroLeague is filled with a very and highly competitive series. And from a series where the team split home and road wins, let's move on to a series where we only saw road wins so far, and let's see if this trend continues. The series between Partizan and Real Madrid. In Game 3, Real emerged victorious with a final score of 80-82. The game started with a strong performance from Partizan, taking an early 12-0 lead and scoring 32 points in the first quarter, while playing with a great intensity on defense. However, Real Madrid fought back hard, and throughout the impressive performance of Walter Tavares and Nigel Williams-Goes, they were able to cut the leads down to only 3 points at halftime. In the second half, Real took the lead from the first time in the third quarter, and despite Partizan energy in the fourth, they maintained their lead with a huge offensive rebound from Tavares, followed by a step-back three from Williams-Goes to take a three-point lead. Partizan missed a crucial three-pointer, and the two free throws from Mario Hezonja sealed this win for Real Madrid. Tavares was the MVP of this game, scoring 26 points, grabbing 11 rebounds and having 3 blocks, while Partizan's Zach Ledeh had an impressive performance. Partizan's great start was led by the Israeli guard Madar, who had 10 points, 3 rebounds, 1 assist and 1 steal in the first quarter, but they could not maintain their early momentum despite the strong effort that they put on the second half. In Game 4, Real managed to tie the series against Partizan with a score of 78-85. Walter Tavares was again the MVP of the game, contributing with 15 points, 7 rebounds and 2 steals, and adding even 2 blocks to it. The top performance included Zana Musa with 14 points, 8 rebounds, 3 and 3 assists, while Zach Ledeh was again the best for Partizan with 25 points, 3 rebounds and 1 steal. Ledeh really stepped up for the home team on these two games in the absence of other team stars. The game started with Real Madrid having a dominant start, but Partizan was able to fight back, although a Partizan 2-steal sequence late on the game brought the game down to only 2 points with near 1 minute to play. An offensive rebound by Tavares followed by a 2-and-1 play was decisive to put this game away and to give this victory for Real Madrid. Real Madrid made a bright start on the game and looked more confident on this game, while Partizan struggled on the offense, especially early on. This has been an insane series so far for both the best and the worst reasons, but let's focus on the good side, on how competitive the series has been. And in Game 5, we can only be sure of one thing: history will be made. Either Real will become the first team coming from a 0-2 deficit on the playoff series, or Partizan will become the first team winning Game 5 on the road. And I am sticking with the latter. It would have been impossible to predict how this series evolved, but I trusted Partizan to win the Game 5 on the road, and I still do. Both teams lost important players for injury in Avramovic for Partizan and Deck for the Real Madrid. And while Avramovic is an important piece for Partizan, I think that the absence of Deck on the team without Abu Saleh due to suspension after his act of violence on Game 2 will give Partizan an advantage for this game. And more importantly, they have Panther back, and they have really missed his firepower. Duke, what did you saw happening on these two games in Belgrade, and what do you expect to see on this series moving forward?
Well, the biggest thing for me was the impact from Walter Tavares. I mean, obviously, Game 1, he got hurt and didn't play Game 2. and then coming back for games 3 and 4, I mean, his impact was shown. He was the MVP in the game. I mean, he just showed why he's their most important player, because on both sides, like, he's such a great defender, and then offensively, they don't have anybody to match up with him. So his impact was the thing that stood out the most for me, for sure. Then, obviously, Real getting both those wins. We know how hard it is to win a game in Belgrade, and for them to win both, it's just credit to them and their roster. They did a very good job. But this is where I'm mad, because I really think those suspensions hurt Partizan, with Punter not being able to play either of those two games. And that's why I think that for game five, I think Punter's going to come out looking for vengeance, because he's, to me, he had been the best player in this series the first two games. And being out those two games in Belgrade and watching his team lose, I think he's gonna put it on his back to like, he's not gonna let them lose. That's what I feel is gonna happen. I picked Real Madrid in four games. Obviously, that can happen now, but they can still win in five. So I'm gonna stick with Real Madrid just because I don't want to switch up my winner prediction. But I just have a feeling that Punter is not gonna let Partizan lose, and they have Coach Obradovic. So I'm very curious to see what he has up his sleeve. And I think this is going to be the most anticipated game five in these playoffs. And with all the stuff that happened, I mean, the Punter game winner, the brawl, the injuries, the suspensions, I think there are so much stories to this series that I can't wait to see this game. And I think it's going to be so exciting. And we'll see what happens, man. But one thing's for sure is you can never count Obradovic out. So let's see what happens.
Besides Real Madrid missing Yabusele and Deck, that I think will be impactful, because I think that Partizan will have a very real advantage with Ledei and with their front court on this game, except for Walter Tavares, because he has been a monster on this series. But I think it will be significant that those two players are missing. In the two games that Partizan played this season without Panter, they averaged 79 points per game. And in the four games that they played with Panter, they averaged 96 points per game. Games against Real Madrid, of course. With Panter averaging 18 points per game on these four games they played against Real Madrid this season. He has shown to be one of the keys for Partizan to be able to spread the floor and contradict Walter Tavares' dominance on the inside. And for me, those two factors, the factors that Real Madrid will be missing, those two important forwards, and the fact that Panter will be available, I think it does give the tools for Coach Obradovic to come up with a strategy that will allow them to win this Game 5 in Madrid and to move on to the Final Four and to make history as the first team ever winning a Game 5 on the road. And it's just another page on the history book of Coach Obradovic.
Yeah. Just one thing, though, and Real has to feel good about this, is that Musa still hasn't had a good game this series. So game five could be his opportunity to show up, and I think he will. So we'll see what happens. But I think Musa and Punter are going to put on a show in game five.
It will be an interesting game for sure. And the ability of Partizan to present some defensive solutions, it hasn't been their strong suit this season, will be important on a decisive game like this one. So let's see what they can come up with. And we for sure trust their coach to do so. It will be a very good game, and it will be a must-watch game, because emotions will be running high and the performance will be elite for sure. And if Maccabi and Monaco, Partizan and Real Madrid are amazing series, the series between Fenerbahce and Olympiacos is right there with them for sure. In a thrilling EuroLeague game, playoffs game 3, Olympiakos beaten Fenerbahce 72-71 in Istanbul, taking a 2-1 series lead and recovering home court advantage. The game saw many lead changes and exciting plays from both teams. Olympiakos' Kostas Loukas was named the MVP of the game with 25 points, 4 rebounds and 6 assists. In the second quarter, Fenerbahce had an 11-point lead, but Olympiakos made the defensive adjustments and went on a 14-2 run to take a 3-point lead at halftime. Fenerbahce was able to take the lead in the third quarter, but Olympiakos came back in the fourth with a 13-0 run to take a 4-point lead with 3 minutes and 26 seconds to play. Fenerbahce fought back and had a 3-point lead with 1 minute and 43 to play after back-to-back 3-pointers of Tyler Dorsey and Nikolatis. However, a big 3-pointer from Olympiakos Sasha Vzenkov tied the game 69 with 48 seconds left. Slokas then hit the game-winning shot at the buzzer, giving Olympiakos the win. On game 4 was Fenerbahce's turn to punch back and win the game 73-69. Tyler Dorsey was named the MVP with 16 points, 3 rebounds, 2 assists. He has been a dynamo on Fenerbahce offense on the absence of Wilbekin that was available for this game but didn't play. And Coach Ito, this in the end of the game, hinted that he was just suited up because they needed to have 12 players available. I don't know to what point we will see Wilbekin on this series or maybe even on the rest of the season of the EuroLeague. But he was available to play, technically at least. Dechampierre scored 17 points while Shaquille McKinsey led Olympiakos with 20 points and 5 rebounds. And in the end of the game, we had an interesting interaction between him and Bratsokas. McKinsey wanted to beat him shooting the ball out of timeout to try to get the team back in the game. And Bratsokas had another plan and they had a small conversation during the timeout on the bench. Fenerbahce defense limited the visitors to only 7 of 25 shots from long range, leading them to this victory. Before the start of the game, the coaches spoke about the importance of focus and concentration in this do or die elimination games, and this was one for Fenerbahce. The starting fives of both teams have remained unchanged from game 3 to game 4. The coaches seem to have settled in a strategy at this moment. The first quarter was evenly matched with neither team leading by more than 5 points. Fenerbahce was comfortable with letting Dorsey go one-on-one against Slokas or Cannon, and Olympiakos have been struggling to find solutions to slow down Dorsey on these games. The game continued to be a back-and-forth battle until the final moments, with Fenerbahce ultimately securing this win. This victory forced Game 5 in the series, making it the third series to go and to be decided on the fifth game. Duke, what about these two games in Istanbul? How good were they?
Man, listen, you know I'm a fan of high-scoring games and guards and everything, but one thing about this series, man, it's going to be high-level intensity and the defense is going to be on point. And I'm loving every single game of this series because we keep having these low-scoring games, which I usually hate, but it has been so good. You can see the strategy from both sides, the coaching importance in this series, how each team is trying to impose their system and their style. I mean, game 3 was very good. Slokas had the heroic game 3 against his former team, hitting the game-winning buzzer-beater 3, silencing the crowd. I mean, that was just awesome to watch. He is one of the clutchest players in EuroLeague history. And then on game 4, Fenerbahce did such an amazing job defensively, holding Vezenkov to just 2 points. And that pretty much summed it up because Nigel Hayes-Davis, he played such great defense and the rest of the guys as well. And then those two wings, Nigel Hayes-Davis and Dechampierre, they keep performing at such a high level like they did all season, playing high, high minutes and performing just like Itudis expects from them. That's why he gives them so much minutes and so much confidence because they keep proving that they deserve it. In the fourth quarter, Dechampierre had 3 threes straight from the same spot, and that happened because the ball went inside to Motley, I think. And Olympiakos' defense, they were so close, and I think they were trying to overhelp. So Pierre had 3 wide-open threes, and he made all of them. So credit to him for sure. And they're not using Nigel Hayes-Davis and Pierre in the post as much in this series like they did all year. But they still find a way to be effective and to make winning plays. So shout out to them. I had Fenerbahce in 4, so that can't happen. But I'm going to stick to Fenerbahce in 5 now, even though it is almost impossible to go to Greece and to win a game 5 with those Olympiakos fans in an environment like that. I think it's going to be such a good game. I think Itudis is going to have his team prepared for that moment. And man, game 5 it is, man. I can't wait.
Yeah. Let me start by saying that I am sticking with my pick and I expect Olympiacos to win Game 5. But this Game 5 will be a fascinating tactical battle and we have a lot to go over here. First, Nigel Hayes-Davies versus Sasha Vzankov. The regular season MVP is having a hell of a challenge on this series. He has even shown some frustration a few times during the series. On Game 3, he was able to step up later on the game. And his team will need him to show up to this Game 5. And I wonder what can Coach Bratsokas do to unleash him for this Game 5. That's something that we will need to keep an eye on. Secondly, the closing lineups. These teams have proven that they will be close to each other in crunch time. So the way the teams will close will be key. Dorsey, Guduric, Pierre, Nigel and Motley have been working very well for Fenerbahce during this series. And it is on Olympiacos' side that I expect some adjustments to come from. We already saw that happening on this last game. Dorsey has been able to attack Slokas, Cannon and McKinski at will. So they will certainly need to have Walkup on him. Guduric has shown that he's a proven player in crunch time and he's one of the best doing it for Fenerbahce. He has been performing at a very high level in crunch time all season long and it's likely that he will be there for them. But the biggest key has been Fenerbahce's size, especially on the wings, with Motley being unselfish enough to be able to share the ball and showing this ability to pass the ball and finding open men. That has given Fenerbahce some open looks from three and therefore is looking for size mismatches on Pierre or Nigel, whoever is being defended many times by a third guard that the Olympiacos has on the floor. Can Olympiacos go smaller and be more switchable with playing some Sasha at the five? I doubt that. I think Motley will have too big of an advantage offensively there, and I don't think that Olympiacos would have enough rim protection there. I think that that might be hard with Fenerbahce being comfortable to attack Vzankov every time that they are switching Vzankov to one of their guards. They have been attacking him and they have been quite successful at doing so. But for me, these decisions will be key because we saw on these last games, Coach Bratsokas going to Papanikolaou at times and deciding between having McKinski or Slokas on the floor. We haven't seen them going to Canada to close the game so far. But they need some size to try to contradict the issues that Fenerbahce have been able to give them offensively. They have been very comfortable against Olympiacos during this series offensively to close the games. So what adjustments you think Olympiacos can do to make this to give them a bigger advantage to close this game most than anything else?
I think Bartzoukas is gonna sorry. Honestly, I think Bartzoukas is gonna roll with what they've been doing all year. I think they could adjust a few things. I mean, especially the size aspect, because Fall has been playing very well. Don't get me wrong, but maybe to match up better with Fenerbahce, maybe some Vezinkov or Peters at the five could be an option. But I think Motley, like you said, I think that would be so much of an advantage. But I think they're gonna go with what they've been doing all year. Honestly, it worked for them all year. I don't think they're gonna change it. Fenerbahce did make some adjustments coming into this series, and I think they have been the team adjusting more than Olympiacos. But I expect a very good game, coaching wise. Not necessarily changing the starting lineup or the rotations, but like in terms of defensive stuff, like how to guard the pick and roll, how to guard when the ball's inside. I think stuff like that, we can see some changes because Fenerbahce has been exploring it with the ball in the post. They've been having the weak side completely open. So I expect Bartzoukas to fix that. But I just think it's going to be such a high-level game defensively. And I would be ready to see a very low-scoring game. So we'll see what happens. But I agree with you that Olympiacos should obviously be the favorites for this game. I think it's going to be so good. And hopefully Fenerbahce can get the upset so that I can get my pick correct. But I think it's going to be a great game for sure.
I wonder if Wilbekin can play and give them some extra offense during the game. Maybe not to close it. coming out of injury, but that will probably add a layer of firepower to Fenerbahce that can help them to upset Olympiacos at home. I think on the front court, Olympiacos probably will go to Black and to Zenkov. I expect them to use Papanikolaou as they were doing on this last game. And I just wonder how the fifth option will be alongside Walcott on the backcourt. If Slokas, if Makinski, or if Cannon. And they will need one of those three to be providing offense for them in the end. That's why in the beginning of the series we were seeing Olympiacos to go to a three-guard lineup to close games, with Walcott, Makinski, and Slokas being the most used three-guard lineup for them on this series. But they were having a lot of trouble defensively. And I think we won't see as much of that on this game. But the tactical tweaks will for sure be something to monitor on this game. And it will be an incredible game. And the environment of this game, I expect, to be probably the best environment of these three series, or of these three game fives. Not the series, because the series have been pretty impressive. But the home court of Olympiacos, I think, will be the one that will play the biggest role on this game fives. And I expect them to get this win, so I can get my pick right. Let's wrap up.
Hold on. Before we wrap it up, I just want to shout out. And I'm sorry because I don't remember the name of the people who posted, of the guys who posted this. And I didn't save the tweet. I should have. But I saw someone say, and I told you this right after the game. I saw someone say that Nigel Hayes-Davis and Deshawn Pierre is what Kawhi Leonard and Paul George were supposed to be. And I just thought that was hilarious. So I'm sorry, I don't remember who posted it, but that was hilarious, and I had to share it here, man. Great.
That is indeed very hilarious. Let's wrap up this episode, and let's have a reminder that Game 5 will be happening this week on Wednesday and Thursday. Tune in on Wednesday of next week when we will bring you a full recap of these three Game 5s. And we will break down what to expect of the Final Four. We will bring you a special episode right after the Final Four, recapping all the action. Then we will start on our off-season schedule, releasing one episode a week. We will bring you the postseason MVP and the top 10 players of this edition of the EuroLeague. We will recap the seasons of all 18 teams, and we will be covering the World Cup for you guys. Make sure you come along for this journey. Subscribe to the podcast and follow us on Twitter at Ethos EuroLeague, where we bring you any news that break about the competition, must-watch games, injury reports, and our daily trades in the end of each day of the competition, bringing you all the highlights of the action. My name is Andre, and I'll be seeing you guys soon.
Bye, guys. See you on next episode.